The scripture today is Acts 2, verses 1 through 8 and 12. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now, there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard the sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Aren't all these who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in our own native language?" Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Good morning. Would you please pray for me and with me? Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Hi, everyone. My name is Sarah Williams. In the spirit of the Pentecost, which we celebrate as a church today, I want to share with you about how I learned to speak in everyone's language. The scripture from Acts 2 tells us, "In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all of the people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions, and your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord, and everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." I was born in York, Maine, to two loving parents in what you would consider to be a well-off family and a beautiful home. Although I was the firstborn, I never experienced the hardship that came with being first. The pressure, the anxiety, I never felt it. My parents were amazing and always wholeheartedly supported me in all that I did. They would hang my pictures up in the hallways, hang my quizzes on the fridge, and come to every back to school night, just so I would know that I was loved. I never experienced what hardship was of any kind, and I honestly couldn't even grasp what it was. Hardship for me as a child was not being able to watch television on school nights. Life was going so well for me that you might think that I was trapped in a bubble. I had no awareness of what life outside the contentment and privilege was like. But as we all know, everyone faces hardship at some point. I came face to face with struggle when I was surprised by the news of my parents' divorce. I was 11 years old. Some of my friends had divorced parents, but like my life had been for so long, I had only watched from the outside. But now this was my reality. I was bewildered. I stood quietly by my family members as I watched them cry and pretended not to notice the moments when we sat on the floor of our new kitchen because we couldn't afford a table yet. I tried to fill the moments of silence when my friends started talking about their families and they realized that mine was broken. What broke me the most, though, was watching my mother as she cried. That was why when my mother told me it was time to start going to church, although I had never felt a need for it before because my life was going so well, I decided to go with her and stand by her side and support her as she attempted to fix her brokenness. Picture this. At 11 years old, I didn't even know that Christmas was the birthday of Jesus. Stepping into the doors of this church was like something I'd never experienced before. God knew that that 11-year-old bewildered girl needed help, and that came from this church. God used you and people like you to help me. I now understand that from the first birthday of the church, Pentecost, God has been giving the church the ability to speak the precise language that people need to hear. What I needed to hear at that time is that Jesus died to save all of us from our sins. He gives us reason to celebrate each morning and a reason to smile. No matter what may be going on in your life, and no matter how much you know about the faith, just know that God loves you so much, and he would do anything to keep you smiling. I remember sitting in this very space and listening to Tom talk about a program that would begin that night, a program for sixth graders just like myself, Crossroads. Not only was it the first night of the year for them, but it was also a new beginning as they transitioned from Sunday school. It was not only a night of firsts for me, but for people just like me. I wasn't alone. God wants us to hear his voice and to know that he is working for our good. In that moment, I needed to hear his voice, and God used the church in this moment to speak in a way that I could understand. I felt like it was just for me. My experiences in Crossroads are ones that I will never forget. From bonding with my friends at weekend retreats, to hearing amazing messages, to changing lives on mission trips. But out of all of my experiences, what Crossroads taught me was that Jesus came to save everyone. All we have to do is believe in him. And as John 3:16 says, if we believe in him, we shall not perish, but have eternal life. Acts 2 says, the promise is for you and your children, and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord God will call. The most important part of that line, as I learned, is that Jesus' love is not just for those who've had it easy in life, as I did in my childhood, but for all, even those who are far off and have never had it easy. Jesus loves everyone the same. This is a message that I've carried with me throughout my spiritual journey, to ensure that everyone knows that they're loved. When the Holy Spirit comes at Pentecost, the Bible says that all of the people were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in each other's tongues as the Spirit enabled them. And when the people heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment, because each one heard their own language being spoken. This is my favorite part of Acts 2. Imagine a crowd of people who all speak different languages, all suddenly being able to understand each other through the Holy Spirit. I can imagine their looks of bewilderment and how amazing it must have been to hear. Actually, it reminds me of a day in Spanish 1 when my teacher finally took a break from speaking Spanish and spoke English instead. I remember the silence that came across the room, and like the people in Acts, the bewilderment, because none of us had ever heard her speak in our language before. And I'll tell you that to this day, out of all the 5 years that I spent in high school Spanish, that may still be the only day that I understood. But to me, what Luke is talking about in this letter is more than just speaking English or Spanish or Chinese or whatever language may be your primary language. What the passage is about is that we are called by God through the Holy Spirit to speak God's word to those who most needed to understand it. Christ's compassion spreads to everyone. We are called to speak to those who may need a guiding hand, those who don't know the word of the Lord already, those who are going through a rough time, those who have never had it easy, and even those who have had everything handed to them. This is what I learned through my experience in this church. Once I realized that people were speaking my language, I realized that God was giving me a mission to speak in other people's languages as well. Changing lives like this has been my mission since the first day in the church. God was there for me and spoke in the voice that I needed to hear when I most needed him, and when my family and my spirits were broken. Even though I had never been close to God before, God called me out of the dark, and I felt close to God as if I was being held in his arms. As I mentioned, changing lives like mine was change has been my goal ever since I learned about Christ's compassion. I have worked to find ways to speak the language of others so that they may come to learn or hear God's language. I started to live this out when I began to teach Sunday school here at Flores. Through teaching first graders in Kid Nation, I've learned how to speak God's language for those who are still learning how the world works, whether it be through games, crafts, music, or anything in between. You'd be surprised at how quickly children are able to learn. All you have to do is open yourself to guide them in a way that they'd understand. What I learned is that the language of children is simplicity. They'll be able to remember Bible verses and names and numbers and everything in between. However, what is most important for children to know is the most basic idea of the Christian faith, that God loves you. Even if they don't remember anything else, They must know that. In seventh grade, I learned to speak a new language when I started a club at Rachel Carson Middle School called Best Buddies. Best Buddies promotes inclusion for people with disabilities. The world can be a scary place, but especially for those with disabilities. I babysit a nonverbal child with autism, and I can see the frustration in his eyes when he's upset about something, but he just can't tell me why. His cries and his screams are his way of telling me that he's upset, but I know that he knows that as much as I try, I won't be able to understand him completely. However, this shouldn't stop me or stop any of us from calling on the Holy Spirit to help us speak the language of someone whose language is different than ours. Whether it be through signing to someone who's deaf, or using an iPad to speak to a child with autism, or simply sitting beside someone, God's word can be shared with people with disabilities when you try to speak their language by showing them compassion. The same is also true for the impoverished community. An experience that I would never forget would be my experience on my mission trip to Memphis, Tennessee in the 10th grade. Going into the mission trip, I couldn't wait to start rebuilding the home of an incredibly sweet woman, Miss Rosa. I thought to myself, rebuilding Miss Rosa's home is the perfect way for me to speak her language. She'll really know God after I fix her house. However, on the second day in Memphis, I experienced a near-death experience as I fell and hit my head. With a concussion, a fractured skull, and a broken nose, I thought that there would be no way that I could help Miss Rosa anymore. I thought that I could no longer speak her language. It was one of the saddest moments in my life, as I remember laying in the hospital bed and getting stitches across my face and thinking, I've let God down. But what I learned as I sat with Miss Rosa on her perch the next day and cried was that God can speak to someone in many different ways. I cried to Miss Rosa, apologizing for not being able to help, and I will never forget her holding my hand and telling me, honey, I bet you didn't know that right now what I need most is just somebody to talk to, and God gave me you. You see, Miss Rosa was also struggling with how to love and serve God after she lost the use of her legs in a car accident. Sometimes we may not even understand what language God is calling us to speak, but the Holy Spirit will always lead you in the right direction. What the Holy Spirit wants us to understand is that the one universal language in the world is love. We need love to form relationships that will last a lifetime, and relationships that we will never forget. So, as you go throughout the rest of your day and throughout the rest of your life, wherever your journey takes you, remember that God isn't just calling to those who knows will listen. God is calling to all of us, even and especially those who are far off. If you understand God's call, then use that gift to speak in other tongues. Speak to those who may not understand. Speak to those who are younger than you or are older than you, to those who are poor and to those who are broken, and to those who just need someone to talk to. Maybe you're someone who needs to hear God's voice. You don't know what it sounds like or how to hear it. Immerse yourself in the love of God. Listen for Him to speak to you. God will always find ways to speak in your native tongue. As I end my time in sharing with you, and as I end my time in high school and in student ministry here at Flores, I want to bring you back to the 11-year-old girl that was here when I began my time at this church. I was scared, I was lost, and I was broken, but you healed me. You made it simple for me to understand God's love. You showed me compassion when I most needed it, and you gave me the love and support that I needed to form the amazing relationships that I can now carry with me throughout the rest of my life. I'd like to take this moment to thank all of you for making me the woman that I am today. And lastly, I want to leave you with the most important verse in Acts 2, verse 47, which reads, "And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Speak so that others may come to hear, come to know, and come to be saved. And believe so that you yourself may be added to those who are saved." Thank you for listening.
Good morning. My name is Emily Tolette. I'm a senior at Oakton High School, and I'm going to be graduating this year and moving on to the University of Virginia, go Hoos. And this has been my home church since I was 2 years old, so I'm very excited to be here. And I'm actually going to start this off with a clip. Now, I promise that the head got out of the box. It's just like 2 minutes later. But raise your hand if you've ever felt like that cat. Yeah. Can't get the head out of the box, unsure, confused, in the middle of a struggle. We all have struggles, sometimes on a day-to-day basis, others overarching and entrenched in our lives. Sometimes we feel like this kitty over here with everyone else watching us fighting our battles. Sometimes our challenges feel just too big to overcome. My personal struggle has always been doubt in my faith, and this is mostly due to my reliance on facts. Learning has always excited me. I especially love learning about science and politics, and I love data so much that I'm actually taking a class called AP Research. But the more I've learned, the more my faith has been confronted, and sometimes I find myself in seasons of doubt. Even in times of extreme commitment to God, there have been inklings of doubt, certain things that I just couldn't reconcile or confidently settle on. I remember that I used to argue with my Sunday school friends about how impossible the story of Jonah was because of the acidity of the whale's stomach. It was things like that that used to trip up my faith. I believe in God. I seek to surrender my life to Him and His will and live in a way that pleases Him. But it has always been hard for me to put my total trust in God. The good news for those of us who struggle with doubt is that we aren't the first to struggle this way. There are a multitude of stories of people in the Bible who struggle with doubt and surrendering themselves to God. One of my favorite stories is about the disciples. These people were Jesus' 12 closest friends, and even they struggled with doubt. So this story is found in Luke 8. Verses 22 to 25. The disciples are crossing a lake in a boat, and Jesus is sleeping below deck before he preaches again. Suddenly, a storm sets in, causing the small boat they were in to flood and sway back and forth, and the disciples were terrified. They didn't know what to do, so they woke Jesus, yelling, "We are going to drown!" Jesus, being Jesus, instantly calmed the waves and the wind. I've been assisting with 915 Kindergarten Sunday School for the last 7 years, and I love the faith of children. It's so easy for them to believe unquestioningly. Last service, I got to this point, I realized I only had the odd numbers of my sermon, and so to fill time, I told a story about some of my kids, and I think it fits pretty well. We had one a couple years ago named Nicholas, and every Sunday, without fail, we would hear him before we saw him, because he would run down the hall, all the way down the hall, with his mom screaming, "Nicholas, Nicholas, stop," run into our classroom and slam into the wall and fall down, and then get right back up. And we were like, "Nicholas, are you okay?" And he'd be like, "Yeah, hey, I'm so excited for Sunday school." And his mom would come running in, and he'd be like, "Nicholas, don't run away from me." But every time, every week, he would just run in. He was so excited to be there. And these kids are just so ready to believe and have fun and learn about God. And they understand, as Sarah was saying last sermon, they understand this simplicity. And so to describe this moment, we give them a catchy rhyme so that they can remember it. And we made one up for this story that goes, "The waves got freaky, the boat got leaky, then Jesus said, 'Chill,' and the water went still." And even in such simple terms that even children understand, this act is still amazing. And when he had calmed the storm, he turned to the disciples and he said, "Where is your faith? Where is your faith?" When I think about what the disciples must have felt like in that moment, I find myself convicted. Why is it so hard for us to believe when we know that God fulfills his promises? Before Jesus ascended, he told the disciples that he would leave an advocate for them, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth. In our passage from Acts today, that's exactly what happens. God fulfills the promise, and the Holy Spirit descends on all the people who are gathered. On this day of Pentecost, we see a group of calm and collected disciples eating a traditional Pentecost meal to give thanks for the harvest. But the disciples had just gotten off a roller coaster that had left them a little bit dizzy. The events leading up to this Pentecost have been far from calm. A few years before, most of these disciples abandoned their normal lives to follow Jesus. And then in the span of only a few days, Jesus died by crucifixion, rose from the dead, and ascended into heaven. And now they're expected to go through life as if everything is normal. A common feeling among teenagers is PCD, or post-concert depression, which is a feeling of sadness teens feel the day after a concert by an artist that they love. And when I try to put myself in the disciples' shoes after Jesus' ascension, I just think it must have been the biggest case of post-concert depression ever. I mean, they were riding the high of Christ's power and ministry, and then it was over, or at least they thought it was. I would guess they felt a lot of doubt, mostly in themselves. Jesus helped them do seemingly impossible things, walk on water, heal the sick, and cast out demons, just to name a few. Jesus led them then, but now they were expected to start the new church without him. They didn't even know where to begin. The disciples were weak on their own. They were human, and they sinned, and they strayed just like us. But here in this passage from Acts, we see God give the disciples the Holy Spirit, which would fill them up, arm them, and guide them. And now, with God's Spirit, they're more fully equipped to go forth and build the church. I love the use of the word fill in Acts 2. You can pull up that slide. Everyone say it together. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. All of them were filled because they didn't just receive the Holy Spirit. The word filled describes the Holy Spirit permeating and soaking into each and every person, changing them completely. They were no longer observers, but they were filled with strength and power to continue Christ's mission. God fulfilled his promise. He hasn't left the disciples alone. God has come to them and filled them up with his amazing power. This is the Bible's first example of the power of the Holy Spirit. Through the Holy Spirit, God is giving the disciples a way to overcome cultural and linguistic boundaries that would normally separate groups of people completely at that time. In Acts 2:4, Luke, the author of Acts, specifically attributes this connection and the ability to overcome with the Holy Spirit. He said that the disciples spoke in different languages as the Spirit enabled them. This Pentecost moment shows us that the power of the Holy Spirit is transformative. God gives us the superpower of his Spirit because he knows that we can't do it all on our own. God doesn't want us to feel afraid or abandoned or unsure. We need God's Spirit to empower us, transform us, inspire us, and sustain us. Now, this is the first example of the Spirit empowering and strengthening people in the Bible, but this repeatedly happens in the Bible. The Apostle Paul, who once persecuted Christians, spent 6 years in prison for preaching about Jesus. But even in prison, we see the Spirit filling him up, empowering him, sustaining him, and bringing him strength. In Philippians 4:13, Paul wrote one of the most famous Bible verses, "I can do all things through him who gives me strength." And he didn't write that after converting all of Philippi or after a great spiritual victory. He wrote this while awaiting trial. He wrote this during the hardest time in his life because he knew the Spirit was with him, empowering him and comforting him. Regardless of our circumstances or shortcomings, the Holy Spirit gives us strength. In the Methodist faith, we believe in prevenient grace, which means that no matter what, the Holy Spirit resides in us and empowers us. This is not only despite our weaknesses, but because of our weaknesses. The Spirit fills the cracks and flaws in us and makes us able to do things we never imagined we could. When we are not enough, God is. We just have to acknowledge our need and believe that God can do His work through us. And it doesn't always feel easy to let go and let the Spirit work, or as some say, let go and let God. I love control, like so many of us do, but I have to remind myself about the disciples and Paul and the multitude of others who let go of their fear and their self-inflicted constraints, and as a result, were transformed. Last year was an incredibly difficult year for me. In the beginning of the year, I developed a mysterious sickness that caused me to feel nauseous a lot of the time. And because of this, I had to miss a lot of school to see various specialists. But furthermore, I was working to look appealing to colleges, and I was participating in more extracurriculars and taking more difficult classes. My good grades, which I put a lot of my worth in, dropped, and my relationships were strained. There wasn't a relationship in my life that wasn't completely severely altered by the events of last year. Everything was falling apart. I felt like God had abandoned me because I was blinded to the ways God was working in my life. My doubt had blinded me. Like many believers, I found it easy to believe in God on the upswing, but difficult to keep my faith in the hard times. In this moment, I couldn't put my trust or my identity anywhere that I normally had, in my friends, in my grades, or in my accomplishments. It felt like God had plucked me up out of my seemingly perfect life and thrown me into a freezing cold ocean. I had nothing to stand on or hold on to, and honestly, I was drowning. I felt completely isolated. But I wasn't alone, because the Holy Spirit was there. And God was telling me that when you don't feel like you can hold on to anything, you can hold on to me. And God was the unshakable force in my life that I had been searching for. And even though I knew that He was there, I didn't have His strength in me until I found the Holy Spirit as my life raft. Sometimes what challenges us is beyond our control, and we need strength to get through. We need to remember that God is right there in the boat with us, ready to calm our storms when our power just isn't enough. Coming out of this other side of that nightmare that was last year, even when doubt tries to creep in, I reflect on what I know to be true, what God has promised, and how God fulfills those promises. God gives us this power to fight our battles through the Holy Spirit because He wants us to use Him during hard times. Like the disciples and those that have gone before us, we have all that we need to overcome any obstacle that this world puts in our way. Because we have the Holy Spirit, we aren't alone, and there is nothing that can defeat us or separate us from our relationship with God, because God is in us. Amen?
Hi, my name is Alexa. I am a senior at John Champ High School in Aldi, and I actually turn 18 today, so thank you. So what better way to start my birthday with the Word of God? So can we open with a prayer? Everybody bow your heads. Gracious and loving God, we ask that you open our hearts so that we may hear you speak. Show us how we can connect with others through the Holy Spirit. Amen. So like I said, my name is Alexa, and I'm a high school senior, and that alone, I guess you could say, I have a lot going on. I was born in Mexico, but under American citizenship. I identify strongly with my Mexican heritage, but the U.S. has become my home. I grew up speaking both Spanish and English. Cuando fui pequeña, tuve unas amigas que hablaban solamente español, but I also had friends that only spoke English. In elementary school, I was enrolled in Herndon Elementary, right down the street, and it was an immersion school where I learned science, math, and health only in French. Et c'était une grande expérience. This experience rooted me deeply in the French culture. I find my diverse nature between France and the United States and Mexico, it's a blessing, something good. Because of my diversity, I'm able to appreciate people from different cultures. I feel like I'm more curious about the world. I can adapt more easily. And I'm hopeful that my diversity will help me after college when I'm entering the working world. But here's the thing. My diversity, it seems like a great thing, but it's also really scary. When all of the adults ask me, so what do you plan to do with your life? I'm lost. I have no idea. I feel so connected to the arts. I feel connected to languages. I feel connected to graphic design and medicine, and I don't know what to do. Frankly, I think all diversity is good. It's all around us. Like I said, I go to CHAMP, and that is a very diverse school. There's people of practically every ethnicity, race, religion, background, and gender. And yet, I have yet to meet someone that's exactly like me. Sure, there's Latinos at my school, but not all Latinos are the same. Within Central America, South America, and Mexico, there's dozens of subgroups of Latinos. So while we're all Latino, we're all very different from each other. Being one of the few Mexicans at my school sometimes makes me feel unique or different, but mostly it makes it harder for me to find my people. So even though I said diversity is good, it isn't always easy, and it certainly can be very uncomfortable. People have always had trouble with diversity. It's been happening for centuries, dating back to biblical times. We read in Acts 2 today that Luke wrote that the diverse gathering of people, when they congregated in Jerusalem, they felt very uncomfortable. As we can see here, people from all nations came together for Pentecost. It says, Acts 2, verses 8 to 10 says, then how is it that each of us hears them in our native language? Parthians, Medes, and Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues. We hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues. How awesome is that? In this moment when the Holy Spirit came down on the congregation, they finally felt like they were one people, as opposed to many people. I can't imagine how they must have felt. They could finally understand one another, and not only understand, but glorify God through each other because of this moment. They were no longer uncomfortable because they were fully immersed in God's creation of the Pentecost. I can picture God sitting back in his mighty throne, marveling at this creation, much like he did in Genesis. God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. And so, maybe diversity is actually God's intention, something God created, something God celebrates, and that it is proof of God's awesomeness, and it's a vessel for all to glorify him. One of the things I love the most about Florist is the way that we try to not only embrace diversity, but celebrate it. We have a South Asian ministry, we have a Latino ministry, we have many cultural events throughout the year, and we have mission trips to all parts of the world, including Costa Rica, Cuba, Sierra Leone, Haiti. For the last few years, I've been able to be going on these mission trips, and for the last specific years, I've been going to Costa Rica. On this trip, I was able to use my multilingualism to communicate with others in a way that I didn't think I would be able to experience. One night, the team was invited to a worship service at the local church where we were running Vacation Bible School every morning. Logically, the congregation spoke in Spanish. The rest of the Florist students were very nervous because it's already sometimes hard for some students to be able to understand the Word of God in English, so they couldn't imagine sitting through a Spanish service and trying to immerse themselves in God. But I was there to help my friends, and I was translating frantically, and I was very overwhelmed, but then I realized how rewarding it was. The most important experience during that night actually started once worship began. The Costa Rican kids got up out of their seats and began dancing in the aisles. And the Americans were pretty shocked. They were scared. They were like, what's going on? People dancing at church? So the Americans soon caught on and started dancing with the kids, and the smiles and the joy that was between the Americans and the Costa Ricans, despite not speaking Spanish, was one of the most incredible things I could have seen. My services were no longer needed because there was finally a shared language, and that shared language was dancing, of all things. And the worship songs, while they were in Spanish, they were familiar American worship songs that the Americans could sing as well. I understood the Spanish lyrics, as did a few others, but finally both groups were singing these songs together. Same melody, same words, different languages, but same God. God's presence and power created a sense of community despite the communication barrier, and it was in this moment that God's presence was truly powerful. What me and the team walked away from this experience is that you don't need to learn a language, do a backflip, or change who you are in order to connect to different groups of God's people. All you need to do is show up, pray, and care about the people around you. If we can do those three things, God will do the rest. In God's creation of each of us, we weren't just created as part of a different region, culture, or family. Besides being created in the image of God, we were also created with different personalities, appearances, and gifts. Our entire being was created by God so that we could complement each other for the work that He has called us to do. How many of you all know the Avengers? So they were created in order to battle the foes no single superhero could withstand. Hawkeye, Iron Man, Hulk, Captain America, Black Widow, and Thor. They were all created with different powers. They're even more special because they're diverse. Imagine the Avengers if it was just Hulk. Not too great of a combination. They would be angry all the time, they would probably be really destructive, and they wouldn't be able to be nimble on their feet like Hawkeye is with his archery. If the Avengers were only made up of Iron Man, that's a completely different story. Iron Man's personality alone can be a little bit overwhelming and arrogant. But because of Iron Man and Captain America's different personalities, they're able to balance each other out. The Avengers' diversities are their strengths, and their strengths are their tool to defeat evil. Each superhero is strong, but they're stronger when they bond together. And likewise, they fail when they're disjointed. Like the Avengers, God has blessed each and every one of us with gifts. They might not be superhuman, unfortunately, but they're just as powerful. 1 Corinthians 12, verses 4 to 6 says, "Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of services, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who activates all of them in everyone." God has created each and every one of us to be unique creations with different gifts, callings, journeys, personalities, and even finances. We are created to be diverse, and it is through this that we can better fulfill the mission that God gives to all of us. Over the years, I have been blessed to be the recipient of many people's gifts here at Floris. I've been taught in Sunday school, transformed in worship through music, mentored in student ministry, and participated in events that helped me connect to the church. I have been welcomed, prayed for, cared for, guided, and led by so many of you and by the diversity that each of you brings. It's because of Floris that my life is what I know it to be today. Through relationships here, I was able to grow in my love and gift for music. Because of this, my faith has grown and transformed into the guiding premise of my life. And I came to learn about gifts that I didn't even know I had because of student ministries. My encouragement for all of you is to find opportunities here at Floris to test out your passions and interests. If you're confident in your gifts, I encourage you to continue to allow God to use you to impact the lives of others. Continue to show up, pray, and care about the people around you. In doing so, you're impacting so many lives, and you're being impacted as well. Let us all call upon the Holy Spirit to transform us so that we can learn to fully appreciate others, not only for our similarities, but our diversity as well. Thank you.